We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm not kidding when I say it, Alabama. Y'all, I mean to say this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Got a ton of texts. I'm not going to be able to keep up with y'all today. Teresa from Town Creek just sent me a emoji that says, missing person, possible victim of coup, as a picture of Biden. the funny thing is, it's not funny. I mean, on the one hand, we're going, snicker, you know, I'm laughing with you, and I'm looking at it going, I'm loving seeing the Dems in disarray. At the same time, my gosh, it's the president of the United States. This is irresponsible. It's also a little bit trepidatious. I mean, I'm looking at this going, come on. You can't just have the president, like, lock himself down in a house and, you know, go into the fetal position and not want to talk to people for days. Anyway,
what did you about? Did you scroll down on the meme? It says, response to ice cream truck music.
I did not see that. Holy cow. Holy cow. Crystal from Moulton says, imagine what the Democrats would be saying if the Republicans were doing this. We'd be the absolute worst people in the world, ending democracy as we know it. I feel like they're going to say that anyway. Thanks, Crystal. Ken from Harvest says, two questions. Do you think President Biden wrote that tweet? Two, do you think he knows it was written? Okay. Well, that begs the question. Here's what I think. And I got nothing to go on except just the belief that, first of all, I mean, I always see people speculating that he's like, something's happened, he's deceased, or he's comatose. I don't think so. I don't think he's well. I think the stress of making this decision, the sense of embarrassment, of disappointment, of having people who he's been close to for decades turn on him and tell him to step down, I think he feels betrayed. I think it's a lot for anybody. But then again, he's also still the president of the United States. You don't get to just not show up to work. And so the president, I believe, is probably in a pretty fragile state right now. That's my interpretation of where things are. The fact that he's not even going to come out and address this. I mean, Lyndon Baines Johnson, he chose not to accept the nomination. He went on and did an address to the nation. This is not normal behavior. This is not the kind of behavior that would be acceptable if somebody was turning down a prom date request, right? But this is somebody who's turning down the nomination, who's already been given the nomination, technically. He was the presumptive nominee. Millions of votes. Over 14 million people voted for him in the primary. Brian from Decatur says, the biggest problem the Democrats face now is being able to change all the names on their mail-in ballots they were going to use. Oh, God, wow. Okay, there's that. What else we got here? JT Lacey Springs says, I perceive the attached as one of the larger obstacles for the Dems. And the attached is, yeah, the same thing. Realizing the 100 million ballots they have pre-filed now have the wrong name. I agree. You know what? Early voting is due to start here pretty soon in some states. It's a mess. I mean, they may have 100 days till the general election, but early voting starts in about 40 days, if I'm not mistaken. They got to figure themselves out. Allie from Athens says, so Senator Williams, if this is a high school breakup, as you indicated, who is it that is actually saying it's not you, it's me? I think both sides are trying to say, nah, I didn't break up with you. You broke up with me. Nah, I broke up with you, not the other way. That's what's happening, Allie. It's awful. Nobody wants to admit it. But everybody's writing it on the bathroom wall, aren't they? Jeremy from Madison said, great monologue, very informative. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Ed P. says, oh boy, it's a long one. He says, Phil, Obama came out and made a statement signed by both he and his wife that we are in uncharted waters and that a new process for nominating a candidate needs to be developed. While Clinton and Biden both made statements backing Kamala, Clinton and Biden made, yes, exactly. Here's my prognostication from the political fever swamp. Said, everyone thinks Kamala Harris is a smooth road to the nomination. Not so fast. This is going to be a team Obama versus team Clinton Biden at the DNC. Obama wants Michelle, while Clinton Biden want Kamala. After a bloody floor fight worthy of the 1924 Klan bake, I predict the Democrat nominee will be Wes Moore, governor of Maryland. He checks all the boxes except for gender, but it'll be enough. That's Ed P. That's not a bad, you know, layered prediction there. So I'm going to get into all that here momentarily. I'm doing the Now What Dipper, right? And I'm going to come up top of the hour. We're going to have a conversation with John Rogers from Signal Polling and Analytics on what they see. Listen, the prognostications right now are running rampant, but it's only because we have instability. Now, Kamala, she had some things going for her. I'll tell you this. Pelosi came out and endorsed her today. Because up until today, Pelosi, Schumer, and Obama had not endorsed her. That's big doings. But Pelosi endorsed her fully today, which means that a promise was made of some kind. But Pelosi has now endorsed her, so there's that. I don't believe Schumer has. If someone sees an article saying that he has, tell me, but my recollection is he has not. And then, of course, what we heard from Ed P. is exactly right. Obama has withheld his, and I think part of that is Obama being the cagey, ever cagey politician, being the guy who can rush in and try to bring peace and reassurance when the day comes that a nominee is chosen. The guy who can measure the political winds and swoop in to be the man who can bring peace and order and assurances, and I'll be there for him. Don't you worry. Is it going to be Kamala? It's not clear. It's not. She's got an uphill climb, and she knows it because her own statement, if you haven't seen it, said she looks forward to trying to earn the nomination. Okay. That means it ain't mine yet, and I'm going to do what it takes to get there. Now, it appears that if she's going to run, she will have access to the $91 million that the Biden-Harris campaign had on hand at their last report. That was at the end of last month. $91 million. Nothing to sneeze at, but nothing like what Trump has currently. $91 million. However, report out. Let me just grab my notes here. Report out that just in the last 24 hours that she has raised in the neighborhood of $50 million. So once she got Biden's endorsement, we're told, here it is, Fox News reports this morning, Vice President Harris's presidential campaign has raised nearly $50 million in grassroots donations since President Biden suspended his reelection bid and endorsed her. The Harris campaign told Fox Digital, since the president endorsed Vice President Harris, everyday Americans have given $49.6 million in grassroots donations. Okay, if that's the case, then she is now boosted up to, you know, what, about $140 million. About $140 million. That's a lot to run with if you're the one still seeking the nomination, but you've got $140 million to go. But here's her statement. She said she will seek the Democratic nomination. I am honored to have the president's endorsement, and my intention is to earn and win this nomination. The questions remain as to whether she can do it. She's not popular. She's not at all popular. The polling indicates that she's not popular. In fact, her popularity was waning below that of the guy they just ran off the ballot. So what's going to happen? Well, right now what we're hearing is that she's going to have to get the nomination of her party. All the state parties, I believe, one report I had said they have coalesced behind her. We did get a statement just today. In fact, 1819 News, I believe, has it. Oh, AL.com has it. Yeah, AL.com says the Alabama Democratic Party has pledged its support for Kamala Harris. Let me open that article and see if it says, I think it does, that Alabama Democratic Party has endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris, State Democratic Party Chair Randy Kelly, yada, yada, yada. Let's see if it says anything about the other. Yeah, okay, no, it doesn't mention the other parties around the nation, but what I'm told in another article that I've got in my hot little hands is that there is, in fact, a coalescing of all the state parties, meaning this is lining up for, but if they were already freaking out about beating Trump and they don't think her poll numbers are good, then don't think for a minute she's done. There are people out there that desperately want something to return the Democrat Party to a more moderate party. So I'll tell you what, I'll skip forward in my stack of stuff. Oh, where is it? At 5 o'clock today, Joe Manchin is scheduled to be on with Brett Baer at 5 o'clock on Fox on the Daily Report. Daily Wire reports that Joe Manchin is reportedly thinking about returning to the Democrat Party and running for the White House now that President Joe Biden has announced he'll be ending his 2024 election bid. CNN's Jake Tapper reported Sunday on Twitter that sources close to Manchin said the senator is considering re-registering to the Democrat Party and throwing his hat in the ring. Well, that would be interesting. I don't know that he could pull it off. Would the party accept him? I mean, they have their own bylaws. He just disavowed the party most recently, and now he wants to be back in so he can run for their highest seat. I don't know if they'd let him do it. But the other thing is, what that clearly indicates is, there's discussion about whether or not the Democrat Party can find somebody considered to be more moderate and appealable to draw away those centrist votes that are unsure of Trump but are really unsure of Biden. So more to come on this. It points out, too, there have been speculation about Manchin embarking on a third-party campaign with the group called No Labels, but he left the Democrat Party in late May, saying at the time, "I have seen both the Democrat and Republican parties leave West Virginia and our country behind for partisan extremism while jeopardizing democracy." Manchin would be an interesting run. You know, he has those parts of him that are more hawkish. He has parts of him in his career that are certainly oil and gas centric and coal. He's not into all the green energy crap, although he has voted for things along the way, along party lines. He's seen as a moderate. We'll see. More to come. We'll find out about him after the show today at 5 o'clock with Brett Baer. All right, Big Rig, take me to a break, brother. Listen, this is a fluid situation. Keep your heads on a swivel and brace yourselves for rogue waves, because I'm telling you, this is not over. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making it cool to be a conservative. I'm going to the phones right now. Wolverine Dan's on the line. Wolverine Dan, what's shaking?
Well, you know, it is entertaining. I'll say that much. But, yeah. Phil, you know, the Democrats will support anything or anybody. I mean, a clothing store mannequin could run for office, and they would definitely support him.
Well, they did have
and
one.
They're going to have 70 million-plus votes because, you know, we're going to have that many votes, too. So it's that small little independent party that we're trying to impress here. But if you stay on message and tell everybody, and it's fact. If it's a fact, then say it. If it's not a fact, then don't say it. But she has been a lousy vice president. One of the things that really she dropped the ball on is the border. She's only been there one time.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, there's a lot of other things that you probably could bring up about her that she does not do well. And she knew the fact that our former president now was having medical issues. She knew that, and she fronted for the guy, okay? Look, it. She is who she is, all right? Is there a perfect candidate? No, there's no perfect candidate, period. But you got to find a candidate that's got the most values and something that's going to help you out the most, okay? And that's how pretty much how it works out, right? Because if you can satisfy your household, then it pretty much is what everybody really wants in this country, okay? A large majority of people. But the point is this, Phil. You could throw a mannequin out there, and they're going to support that mannequin. And that's what, to me, I think she's got an IQ less of a mannequin.
Fair enough, man. Appreciate you calling.
See
you. See you, man. Spot on. And he's right, though. I mean, listen, there right now, there are those in the Democrat Party. Now, by the way, I will say this. There are those in the Democrat Party who, to Wolverine Dan's point, will vote for whatever is on the ballot. They care less. This has got a D by its name. I got to have it. And there's those on the Republican side, too. But what they're also facing right now is providing reassurances to their base that, yeah, even though we lied to you a few months ago, please come back out in the general election because we're going to need you then. I mean, we can lie to you and switch out the, we still got to have your vote in the end, though. You know what I'm saying? Don't hold us accountable for the lies we already told. Just vote next time. And so they're going to face voter apathy. They are. They're going to face voter apathy on their end. It's more than just picking their candidate. Now they have to convince the voters that not only is their candidate worth voting for, but that the process is worth participating in. That's going to be an uphill climb for the Democrats right now because they have so undermined their own processes. They have so insulted their own voters. Now, voters can be very forgiving. I was super disappointed in the 2022 midterm elections. I thought that was just asinine that we did as poorly as we did with every reason not to. That was a leadership issue. We swapped out some leadership, and I'm ready to keep moving forward. That's part of life. But anyway, got us some more text here. Badger from Athens says the real life event of the movie Dave. Yes, it is. That was in a monologue a few weeks ago, as a matter of fact. Scott from Somerville, Joe Biden doesn't know whether he's scratching his watch or winding his butt, much less was he running for president. Okay. It's something to watch, man. Jeff from Indiana says Obama's the only one who can go against Kamala and not be called a racist. That's why he's going to get a pass. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's probably true. Ron from Tuscumbia says maybe Obama had Morgan Freeman call Biden. I don't know. Missy from Falkville says Joe is just finishing this campaign like he started the first one, from the basement. Point well taken. Doe Man from Harvest sent me a link. I can't watch a YouTube video right now, man, but I'll check it out. Thank you. My word, the text messages, they just keep storming in. Gary from Decatur says 51 million of donations for Harris right after she announces her candidacy for president. It was reported that Nancy Pelosi was withholding 200 million in donations from Biden because he refused to step down. Suddenly he steps down. She endorses Harris, immediately raises 51 million in small donations, end quote. Call me crazy. That's a big one to swallow. Yeah. But I think there are parts of this that were in the works already. Phil from Raleigh, North Carolina. If the Dems go forward with Kamala without any real competition, the counter would be that she was, quote, selected, not elected. And by the way, she is right now about to be the only nominee for president, I believe, who was not elected in the primary in the history of the United States. That's interesting. Steve from Huntsville. It's only 2 months after the convention until election. I don't think they can put someone on the ballot that hasn't campaigned in the past for the job. I believe they're weighing the crap show if they don't choose Kamala against the crap show if they do. Yes, they are. It says, look for Hillary, hit the ground running, and the media give her a boost like never seen before. See, that would just bother me. Now, listen, I'm not saying she wouldn't. I think her avarice for power is like nobody else. And she always believes that she was supposed to have been president and she got it stolen from her. She can be an election denier. Hillary Clinton's allowed to be an election denier because, you know, she's Hillary Clinton. But I think she's also one of the most unlikable people in the history of the world. And she's also got a lot of baggage knowing that she's lost to Trump before. Jerry from Decatur says, apparently Biden always thought he was too legit to quit until the debate. Now it's Kamala's turn to get. Can't wait for the next debate. I see a bad moon rising. How many songs do we just have in one text right there? You're like streaming the songs. And then Nani from Beverly Hills, Florida says, maybe Kamala will slot Manchin or RFK to balance the ticket. I wondered about that. I think more likely Manchin comes in and brings in RFK, and they run as a ticket. We'll see. More on this coming up. We got John Rogers from Signal Polling and Analytics, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a very manic Monday. This is some more kind of a news day, but if there's any show out there designed to bring some peace and clarity to the situation, it's this one. Listen, we're gonna go to somebody right now who has their finger on the pulse of all things politics. Longtime friend John Rogers started his political career here in Alabama, spent a lot of time working in Montgomery. He and I worked together. John Rogers is now a pollster with Signal Analytics, a company that started in Alabama and is now national in scale, working out of D.C., he's on the line with us right now. John Rogers, how you doing, my friend?
Phil, I am doing great, and man, what a insane, just crazy last 3 weeks in American politics.
Brother, it's a target-rich environment right now. I mean, you can't swing a dead cat without finding a disgruntled Democrat, but but we also can't let our guard down, right? Republicans, we cannot for a second think that this means we're in.
No, I think that's a great point. And Governor Brian Kemp, who we do a lot of work with, he made the point a couple of days ago in a TV interview that, look, Republicans are ahead, but you have to campaign every day like you're behind, and you cannot take anything for granted at all. And, you know, the Democrats are energized right now with Harris being on the ticket. They had a massive inflow of donations via Act Blue last night. I think I read that they raised $50 million in 24 hours alone. So the Democrats are much more energized than they were a week ago.
Well, I guess they have to be, because right now they're. But I wonder how much of that is fake enthusiasm. Like, oh, good, we're back in the game. You know, we brought in the second string quarterback. We're still going to win. I don't know. I just wonder. But what are you seeing in the polls? I tell you what, let me ask you this. What did you see in the polls that they were seeing in the polls that caused Biden to finally drop out?
That's a great question. And what we were seeing in the polls is, even before the debate, the disastrous debate performance by Biden, even before that, Trump had edged ahead in basically every single battleground state that matters. He was ahead in Nevada, he was ahead in Arizona, he was ahead in Georgia, he was ahead in North Carolina. And those three Midwestern states of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania that Biden had to win, it was either tied or Trump had gone ahead before the debate. And then after the debate, you started to see that Trump was even, you know, he was extending his lead from, you know, some of those states that went from 2 points up to 4 points or 3 points up to 5 or 6 points. And what's really amazing is reporting came out from Axios and some other national news organizations that the Biden campaign had not done polling for 2 months in some of those battleground states until this last week. That's what the reporting said. And, you know, you kind of have to wonder if in some ways they were trying to just bury their head in the sand. But, you know, they evidently did a round of polling finally, and that was just kind of the nail in the coffin. And, you know, even the team around Biden, who have been incredibly blinkered, they just kind of realized there's really no path forward.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. So even before the debate, I mean, I knew that it was trending, but I didn't realize that we were seeing Trump ahead in every major poll, even in the battleground states. But well, let me ask you this then. I mean, right now we have no proof of life, but I assume that Biden is still, you know, alive and kicking. But he issued his statement on Twitter, of all things, no public appearance. And then he came back later because he didn't endorse Kamala Harris in his original statement. He came back with a second tweet and endorsed Harris. But she doesn't have a clear path. I mean, she's got to earn the nomination, and they got a long way to go on that. How's she polling?
Well, so we do a national poll every single month, and we had just concluded the one for July, right prior to the switch, right, and Biden announcing that he's not going to be the nominee, and he's stepping aside. And we polled Harris's image. 58% of the American voters nationally, 58% have an unfavorable view of her, versus just 35% of the American public, Bill, who say that they have a favorable view of the sitting vice president. So that means she's underwater with a negative 23 net image. And then, you know, in comparison, Trump, you know, Trump is not incredibly well-liked necessarily across outside of, like, the Republican Party. But in comparison with Trump, Trump's image is at negative 11, right? So Kamala, her negatives are far beyond what Trump's are. And then what's really interesting, too, is that for Kamala, her net favorability with Hispanics is negative 14. Wow. And then even with college-educated women, a group that Democrats traditionally do pretty well with, she's underwater with a negative 11 net favorability. And so to translate that out, Arizona and Nevada are not going to get any easier because she is not popular with Hispanic voters. And I think that she's not going to do as well as Biden would do in places like Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania. One thing that people have to keep in mind is that she comes from San Francisco, and she has underperformed even in a state, like, you look at her electoral history, her first race for statewide office was in 2010 when she ran for attorney general. She won that as the Democratic nominee by less than one percentage point.
Oh, wow.
Over the Republican nominee. And so she is not a strong campaigner. It has not been historically a strong campaigner. And that's why she didn't even make it to the Iowa caucus in her own 2020 primary bid.
Yeah, she's a flawed candidate, obviously. And it's amazing to me that she's had as much career path as she's had, because you're right. She keeps skinning by the narrowest of margins. Let me ask you this. Is there anything out there yet that says that if she was paired with some, because I've heard polls that she polled lower than other Democrats who were being considered as possible replacements for, you know, the ticket. So what if they pair her with somebody? Does that raise her fave, unfave, you know, balance? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think, if you look at the impact of the vice presidential selection, it is fairly muted over the last 10 to 20 years, right? I mean, it wasn't like Donald Trump won particular states necessarily because Mike Pence was the VP nominee. So I don't think the effect of the vice presidential pick has a huge effect usually, right? So, you know, there's a lot of talk that Kamala's team is looking at, for instance, somebody like Josh Shapiro, who's the great governor of Pennsylvania.
Right.
So does adding him to the ticket help the ticket? Maybe marginally, but like for the most part, people are going to be making the decision, I think, on Trump versus Harris. And I think another thing that people have to kind of keep in mind here is that Harris, I mean, literally she's the sitting vice president. And so it's going to be a straight line. You don't have to connect the dots. It's an already existing straight line for Trump and Republicans to say, you know, if you don't like inflation, if you don't like how expensive things have gotten in the economy, that's because of the Biden-Harris administration. So it would be very different if Democrats had said, you know what, we're going to have an open convention. And they wound up selecting somebody like Mark Kelly, a senator from Arizona, or Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. That would have been somebody who could have created some distance from the Biden-Harris policies.
Yeah.
But Kamala is not going to be able to do that.
No, she's not. And that's one of the things that I hope, you know, I know that voters have short memories. Right now, I think that Democrats who are going to vote Democrat no matter what are desperate just to find somebody that they can, you know, stake their hopes on. But it's the centrists, it's the moderates, it's the swing voters that both sides now are staring at very hard. And I, you know, like you said, the polls were trending towards Trump's way. And I'd have to believe that even more so since the assassination attempt, if nothing else, the sympathy vote. But so let me ask you this. What are your expectations right now? Because here's the thing, John, just spitballing with you. There are some of these out there like Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer who may not want to tie themselves to Kamala Harris. They may not want to risk the loss of their own political capital by being on a losing ticket. So do we pick like what I would consider to be a second tier, lesser known Democrat? But then what does that do to her own visibility?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's really astute analysis, because I think somebody like Gavin Newsom, he obviously wants to be the nominee at some point and try to win the presidency. And so there's a little bit of you know, he's going to distance himself and say, you know, I'm supporting Kamala Harris, but, you know, really he's probably just trying to set up his own 2028 presidential bid, right? But I think, you know, I mean, she's going to get somebody who is seemingly moderate, right, to try to moderate her image and, as you said, appeal to the center. They do have a lot more energy and enthusiasm in the base. I mean, the Democratic Party on the left was so deflated, you know, because Biden had just bombed so badly on the debate stage that it was very apparent that, you know, they were not in a good position, right? So they've energized their base, which is one positive thing that they've got going for them. But she's not, historically, she has not been a very deft campaigner. She has a pretty far left record on a lot of different things. I mean, look, she is on the record saying that she wants to ban fracking. And I don't think that's going to play well with even centrist voters in the Midwest.
No, I would agree with that. I do. And I tell you, one wild card, which still remains to be seen, is there are a lot of calls for the 25th Amendment right now. And Biden has not been seen in days, which I find to be unconscionable, because even if you've got COVID, put on a happy face, get makeup in there, and sit in front of a camera and tell the world, I'm here and I'm disappointed, but I'm stepping down. But he's not doing that. If we find out that there is something that is so visible and so altering in terms of his personal health that she knew about and chose not to for her own personal ability to run for office, I think that's a campaign crusher at that point.
I agree that it is a little bizarre that, you know, they literally had made this announcement by posting a letter on Twitter or X. Yes. That just seems a little bizarre. I mean, you're the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, and that is just a little strange. You know, what's interesting, too, is that a lot of people in the media, they acted like that when Republicans and conservatives, going back a year or two ago, started to kind of say, well, you know, Biden is not in great health. Maybe he's not going to be the nominee. A lot of people in the media acted like that was some kind of weird conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
You know, lo and behold, Biden is not the nominee. So I do think that for, like you said, if there's something that comes out that's very concrete related to Biden's health or his ability to do the job of commander-in-chief, you know, it does not look good at all for the vice president. And she's been vocally on the record defending him and saying that he's up to the job. But it's like, well, he clearly is not up to the job of campaigning.
Yeah.
And so if he's not up to that job, how in the world can you say that he's up to the job of being the commander-in-chief?
Well, more to come on this, brother. And you guys are going to have your work cut out for you. And by the way, while I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm watching a ticker that came up on CNN saying that the Harris campaign now announces they've raised $81 million in the first 24 hours. So at the very least, there's people trying to throw money at it and boost her credibility. Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But you know, it's going to be an equal fight, I think, when it comes to money on that side. So it is the race has certainly got a lot more interesting over the last week, if it's possible.
Yeah,
exactly. Everything that's happened in the last month.
Good Lord, could it get any more dynamic than what we got? All right. Well, listen, it's a fluid environment that we're in, but John Rogers with Signal Analytics, I would appreciate you coming on again. Keep us posted as things go along. All right.
Absolutely. Phil, great to be with you as always.
All right. Take care, man. All right, Greg, take us to a break. I ran that one long, but gee, my netty. Can you imagine being a political pollster right now? Like, who are we polling today? I don't know. Who's in? I don't know. Who's out? Oh, my gosh. More to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so who's Kamala Harris? I mean, we're in the now what. We're going to wrap up the now what part of the Dippers here today and move to the 25th in a minute. But as we wrap this discussion up, part of the way forward is going to be, okay, let's say it's Kamala. Let's say she earns a nomination. She's certainly got some fundraising going on, apparently. She's now got, you know, the Clintons and Pelosi endorsing her. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen with the rest of it? And if she is, then who's going to be her VP? You know, I agree with John Rogers that the VPs are not always the, you know, the flagship, so to speak, but they're still part of the flag. They are. And they also sometimes come in to help provide assurances that there's a well-rounded ticket or to provide additional votes from a battleground state. Who's it going to be? We got all kinds of guesses. Got a piece here from the New York Post. List 10 potential possibilities that are being talked about right now. I think one of the top ones that they're going to look at is, and I guarantee you they've already had a meeting, Pete Buttigieg. I bet you. You watch. I bet Petey is in the running right now. Mayor Pete. And then she could say, look, not only am I the first woman of color and all the things, but I've got the first ever openly gay vice presidential candidate. Whoop, whoop. Because they are about identity politics. They identify. They don't identify as Americans. They don't identify as people. They identify as parts of people. And so I would not be a bit surprised to see Mayor Pete to be. Plus, he's already run a national race. You know, he did. He ran a national race, and he and Amy Klobuchar actually wore some people out during the Democratic primaries in 2020. He earned his way into a position on the cabinet because he brought something to the table, I guess, in terms of his, you know, bona fides on the national stage. He was the Vivek Ramaswamy of the 2020 campaign for the Democrats. We'll see what happens. Gavin Newsom, I don't think so. Andy Beshear, now he's the Kentucky governor, very popular, but is he going to want to ruin his own credibility by attaching himself to Kamala Harris? I mean, Petey is already attached to Kamala. They serve together. She knows him. She could say, we work together quite well. I think he's great. Petey's awesome. He and his husband, it'll be great. Gretchen Whitmer, I don't think she'll do it. I don't think she wants to destroy her political clout. J.B. Pritzker, nah, I don't think so. I don't think he'll do it. Josh Shapiro is a possibility. Pennsylvania is a battleground state. They need Pennsylvania in a big wall. It's part, a big way. It's part of the blue wall. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, I mean, he's extremely popular locally. He's only been a governor for 2 years, though. But he did, like, oversee the rapid rebuilding of Interstate 95 when a bridge collapsed last year. He's got some credibility. Roy Cooper from North Carolina, never heard of him, but there he is. Wes Moore, Elizabeth Warren, oh my gosh. Nah, that won't happen. Kamala can't work with her. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.